Well, welcome everybody. This is our first conference call for RL101, which is Identify Your Leadership Strengths. And it's our second in the series of learning events that help you work towards a certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. In this learning event in RL101, as I think most of you have already found out, we're going to be exploring some of the things that recreation leaders need to know and be able to do when you work or volunteer in your communities. And sort of your own path forward in the field of recreation emerges as you learn more about yourself and identify the different opportunities that you can grow as a recreation leader. So as slide 4 in the presentation explained, this learning event encourages you to recognize leadership qualities and characteristics, identify the competencies, which are the skills and knowledge and attitudes to work or volunteer in community recreation, and set your own personal goals to grow as a leader. So on all of our conference calls, I try and use a similar agenda. So today we're going to start with some introductions. And then we're going to go over some of the content for the week. And then we're going to share our thoughts about leading and recreation. So I'd like to do our round circle. We're going to go from Megan to Joshua to Nathan to Naya. And then I'll flip it so we start with a different person each time so we don't always put Megan on the spot. I also use the chat. I'll try and pop the question in there. But for those of you who can't see the chat, just let me know if you need me to repeat the question. So my first question for us to share is please introduce yourself. Maybe tell us your name. I know I've said everybody's communities, but you can remind us of the community that you're in and also what you do in that community in recreation. And then if you could, so the question asks you to tell us about your recreation leadership role, so what it is that you do, and then share with us a strength either that you feel that you have in that role as a leader. So I'll go first, and then Megan, I'm going to put you on the spot to go next, and then Joshua, Nathan, and Naya. So I'm Caroline Sparks, and I am in Whitehorse. I've been in recreation for you guys are going to know how old I am when I tell you, but for more than 35 years. And right now, some of the roles that I play is I help create this Recreation North training program, and I help offer the learning events. And I love working with people all across the North. I learn so much from you guys. And I think one of my strengths is that I try really hard to recognize that I don't have the answers. I know how to ask questions, and you have the answers. So to me, being a leader then is drawing people into that so we're all in it together. So I guess collaboration or cooperation. So that's a bit about me. So Megan, if I can ask you to introduce yourself, tell us about your role and share one of your strengths, that would be great.
Yeah, hi. This is Megan Hassey. I am calling from Baker Lake. So I have a few different roles. I am currently a program coordinator with Sport and Recreation with the government of Nunavut. I do a bit of everything here because I started out as a student, so I offer a lot of support to the other program coordinators here. And then I'm also on our Youth Athletic Association board. We kind of fundraise and organize for sports here. And then I'm also a coach for basketball girls here. And I'd say one of my strengths is that I am quite adaptable. So when you're living here, it's very easy for plans to change and things to go wrong. But I find that I'm usually able to keep up with the changes. Yeah.
That's awesome. I just realized you did all those different things, Megan. You must be very busy.
Yeah, especially now that school's starting and everything's starting up again. So
do you coach your sister or do you coach younger groups?
Both. So I'm helping with the senior girls, which is my sister, as well as the junior girls.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it. And your community is so lucky to have you, and so is the Government of Nunavut Sport and Rec Division. So thank you for joining us. Joshua, let's go over to you. We're going to jump back over to the West Arrow. So I'll let you introduce yourself, tell us about your role, and share one of your strengths as a leader.
My name, obviously, is Joshua Wilcox. I live here in Farrow, and I am the rec assistant. Been in recreation for a number of years now, probably 8 to 9 years. I absolutely love my job. I love being able to be with the community. One of my strengths, I would have to say, is inclusion, making sure that everybody gets included and feeling welcome in any event or sport that we do. I find it definitely one of my strengths to be able to make it possible for everybody to do almost all sports.
That's awesome, and I'm looking forward to meeting you next week, Josh, when feeling included, regardless of my ability to participate. So that'll be great.
We have the
Yukon Recreation Gathering, which is, it's not really like a conference type thing. It's more people come together and we gather for a couple of days, and we're going into Hank Junction, which is a gorgeous part in the Champaign-Ajax traditional territory. So that's where I'll get to meet Joshua next week. So thanks for your introduction, Joshua. And now we're working our way back east again to Nathan.
Hey, south here in the Yards, because we're like basically in BC.
That's true.
But yeah, my name is Nathan Wilson. I'm originally from Inuvik, and then I grew up mainly in Aklavik. And I'd say with this recreation leadership role that I have here, I've been enjoying it so far, just kind of getting the reins, kind of understanding what, you know, what it takes. I worked under a couple rec leaders here, like I chaperoned here in the yard a bit, and I also I worked as like a pool assistant, and I'd say my recreation history started like 4 years ago when I was in high school, where I supervised the after school sports. And I'd say one of my strengths is probably I like to think it. I don't like, you know, want to brag or anything, but then I just like to think that like I'm understanding where if somebody spills something or somebody's not gonna be able to show up to work, like, you know, it's fine and understandable, and you know, I don't stress over simple things like that, I guess.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks. You know, that's so important, because I think that understanding and that passion just makes people feel welcome, right? And it makes mm-hmm. them feel like they're part of something, and it makes them not feel shy or scared if they can't do what you expect them to do. So
yeah,
definitely awesome qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, Nathan, I'm just curious, do you feel you developed some of those qualities growing up, or you know, when you're in high school, if you were doing after school programs, working with younger kids?
I think it was mainly just because of my peers growing up, like they were all usually older people, and I more got along with like older people than, you know, people my age or like, you know, younger. And then I also think it's just because I grew up like that, I'm the eldest out of like, you know, a bunch of grandkids. So then I grew up with, you know, I guess you could call it supervising all my younger cousins. So I'm just, you know, comfortable working with the youth. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that and for introducing yourself.
Yeah.
Naya, I'd like to ask you to introduce yourself. Tell us about what you're doing in recreation, and share one of the strengths that you bring as a recreation leader.
So my name's Naya Pierce, and it's my first year as a recreation receptionist, because I just graduated from high school this year, and I've been on the board for Inuit Games for about 3 years now, representing youth, and my strength, or my leadership strengths, I think I have, are understanding and passionate as well, could, like, understand me because I'm looking with youth all the time. And, like, some people have, like, different skill levels, so you have to understand people are different and passionate. And for me, like, you have to focus on one thing and be passionate about it.
Thank you for sharing that, Naya. I got to meet Naya Nikalowicz the other week, and I could, your passion just kind of shone like the sunshine. Like, it just, I could feel how passionate you were about, you know, helping kids be involved, being inclusive, like what Joshua said, in the programs, and making it possible for people to play and be part of their community through recreation and sport. Naya and Nathan, Naya, I'm not sure if you noticed, but Nathan, one of the things I think you said you start, one of your goals, Nathan, is to get a little bit more traditional sports or Arctic sports in your community. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so Naya might be a good contact, because Naya, you've competed at Arctic Winter Games before, right?
Yes, I have for Inuit Games or Arctic sports.
Yeah, so Inuit means Arctic sports. I think sometimes those words are used interchangeably. Arctic sports, maybe because more around the Arctic. But Nathan, that, you know, Naya's got some experience in that area. And Naya, you mentioned the board for Inuit Games, and I think that that's a new, a fairly new association in Nunavut, right?
Yeah, it is. Right now, we have the board members, and kind of waiting for one thing to happen, and then it's official.
Okay.
Great.
What's the check into that there?
Yeah, so if you want at the end of the call, if you have any questions for Naya at the end of the call, I can give you guys a few minutes just to chat if you want to at the end of the call.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Great to make those connections.
Yeah,
like, you never know.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, so let's jump a bit into the content for this week. And one of the things that you were encouraged to do was to explore leadership qualities and characteristics. And I really appreciated reading your posts. It's sometimes hard to write about yourself and about people who are meaningful in your life, but I really value the insights that you all shared, and also the images that I got when you shared things like Megan mentioned snowflakes and Naya, a tree. Like, to me, that those things mean a lot. Like, I can really understand what you're saying when you use an image like that or a symbol. I find it really interesting that from everybody's posts that the leaders who are in your lives are people who are really close to you. Either they're close friends or close family or somebody you know well. I've only out of facilitating this learning event probably 6 or 7 times, I've only ever had one person tell me about a leader in their life that wasn't somebody that they knew personally. And that was Nathan Mamalak from Tulalip. Apologies if I'm saying that wrong, but Nathan is a big hockey fan, so he had his sort of leader and role model was somebody who was in hockey. And I can't remember who it was because I'm not a big hockey fan, but usually people pick people who are close to them and personal. So that speaks to how important the relationships you have with the people in your community are. I think that all of you believe, as slide 6 shows in the presentation, that leadership comes from within you, within your families, and within your community. So a couple of things that you mentioned, Esther mentioned relationships being critical or vital to being a leader. Joshua, I really liked how you described that being a leader was about providing support from behind. So I got that sense that, you know, it's like the foundation, that steady support, the encouragement, rather than being in front in the limelight. And Naya, your description of a tree, I could just see this tree growing and then sharing wisdom and skills with others. And I think Megan replied to your post today, and she liked that as well. And Megan, I really liked your description of the snowflake to represent your sister. So super helpful. Some of the qualities that people shared were things like strength and courage that Kelly shared. And Megan, I got a sense of respect and commitment being very important qualities about a leader from your post. So if you haven't had time to read each other's posts, like, they're super inspiring. So, you know, even if you come back to it, you're having a bad day, and you read what somebody else wrote, it can really inspire you and make you feel that, you know, all your efforts are worthwhile. So on slide 7 in the presentation slides, you might have noticed that there's two different resources I shared to help you think about how your upbringing, how you were raised, and how your culture influences how each person is as a leader. And so I'd like to take a moment to ask you to share how you think your leadership was influenced by culture, your upbringing, where you live, where you grew up. And so let's go around our circle. And this time, Joshua, I'd like to start with you this time, just not to put Megan on the spot. So we'll go Joshua, Nathan, Naya, and then Megan. I'll put the question in the chat so that you can read it, and I'll also explain it again as well. So the question is, go ahead. Is that Joshua or Nathan?
That was Josh. I was just going to get you to repeat the question again.
Definitely, and I'll even give you an example first while you think about your answer, so, because I know it's hard to be put on the spot. So after exploring or thinking about different perspectives on leadership, what stands out for you? So my question really is, how does culture or how we were raised influence how we think and feel about leadership? And I'll give you my answer first. So I was raised from what we might refer to as settler parents. So my parents immigrated from England, and I grew up in Vancouver. So I grew up very much in sort of that hierarchical system where I was supposed to look up to people, and they were all leaders. It took me a long time to learn that leadership comes from all around us. I didn't have that experience growing up. So, you know, over my time actually living in the North and working with really small communities has really taught me that leadership is comes from within us and within our communities, and it's not just, you know, a politician, or it's not just your teacher or someone like that that is a leader, that everybody has leadership qualities within them. So I may have just answered some of your questions, but that's my perspective. So Joshua, I'm wondering, from your perspective, what stands out for you about how culture or how we were raised influences how we think and feel about leadership, or how you do?
Wow, that's a pretty big question.
It is.
I was raised alone. Like most, a lot of people, actually, I don't have a very good upbringing. So I was homeless from when I was very young, 11, till about 20. I learned through that judgment. If you can carry yourself without judging people in any form or stature, or finance, anything. You just hold everybody on the same level, give everybody the same respect. I think strongly that is what develops a very good leader. Somebody who can stand with you instead of in front of you, like I said in my thing there. So for me, that my culture has created that type of aspect for a leader for me. Yeah, that's about it.
Thanks, Joshua. That probably stands out, that sort of leadership quality. What you're saying is sort of putting everybody on the same page, looking at everybody, not the same, but treating everybody the same. So, or having empathy, I guess, for people. So the empathy and understanding. And that's probably, you know, I can imagine, Roger's told me a lot about how you are as a recreation leader, and now I can, with that explanation, I can put that together with what Roger's told me, and I have a much better understanding of, or I can imagine perhaps what you are like with the people in your program. So thank you for sharing that. And sometimes it's hard to share things that are close to us, but that is very meaningful, especially in, you know, to people across the North, when we can share where we came from and what that means today. So thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, great. Nathan, how about yourself? How, you know, you mentioned sort of being the oldest of a lot of children and how that probably has influenced leadership. Is there anything other, you know, like maybe the community you grew up in, the environment or the culture or anything like that that influences how you think and feel about leadership?
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to do a lot of drum dancing, and then, you know, with any type of dancing, like, you know, you're around your peers, and there's a lot of, like, you know, people that you respect, a lot of, like, you know, the older men and older women who go to drum dance, like, recite weekly in a Klavik. I always looked up to them because, you know, they did it for years, they kept the tradition going, and, you know, I wanted to do sort of the same thing there. And, I don't do, like, the drumming and dancing, like, you know, way down south here. I mean, like, you know, there's drum dances here, but it's a different style. But I think that affected my leadership abilities because I was around a lot of different leaders, and we would make trips, over to Alaska for drum dancing, and then the people that were, like, you know, the organizers or the leaders within the drum dance group would, you know, be the ones, you know, bringing us there. So it just shows that, you know, to be a leader, like, you know, you could be anybody because they're, like, you know, my family members, like, anybody can be a leader, and then that it takes a lot of involvement. I think that's a big thing, too. It takes, like, a lot of involvement to be a leader.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. I mean, I get the sense you get some words like respect and engagement, and then you talked about the opportunities for people to participate in sort of traditional or cultural activities so that you grow up with things that develop your confidence and pride, but also allow you to interact across generations so that, you know, that intergenerational aspect helps people to develop leadership skills.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. The intergenerational stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Naya, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about how culture or how you're raised influences how you think and feel about leadership. And I know you wrote about your biological mom. I don't know if you want to share that or if there's something else sort of you feel influences maybe your own leadership or leadership of other people around you.
Yeah, so, like, I kind of feel what Joshua said, like, the intergenerational. Like, I feel like my mom is a big leader, and, like, I was adopted, so I had two sets of parents. So I had, like, different variety of leadership in my life. And coming, because I'm Inuk, so, like, that plays a big role in how I feel about leadership, because Inuit, like, we drop down our skills from, like, hunting, how to live on the land, and, like, so much more things. And, like, for Inuit games, like, my mom gave that to me, and she gave the leadership to me on how to teach it to kids. So, like, leadership in my culture is, like, a really big thing because we want to keep that leadership and pass it down to the next generation to keep it going. But yeah, my culture and how I was raised plays a big role in how I feel about leadership.
That's awesome. Thank you. It's almost like I write notes when people, and I've got this circle, and it's kind of like culture, what you're explaining in Inuit culture, it reinforces the leadership role, and by being leadership or by being the leader, you can reinforce the culture. So it strengthens, like a circle that strengthens it, it seems. So your mom shared with you, shared with you skills, and she must have showed you by doing how to be a leader, like so she maybe is a mentor or a role model in your life, and then by you watching and learning from her, now you're doing that with someone else. So it's that cycle, and I think that's why you use the tree maybe, right, as a symbol?
Yeah, I'm in my staff room, and that's the generator.
That's okay.
But yeah, the tree, like the symbol that I use is the tree, and like the tree I thought of with my biological mom is because like he also developed skills or like leadership skills from her mom, and like it just kind of went down. And he, so like how I thought of it is like the branches and the leaves are like reaching out, and like if the leaves fall, it's like you pass down a skill to somebody else, and then with that skill, somebody else is going to put it on their tree and then drop it down to somebody else. That's how I kind of thought of it when I said the symbol of a tree.
Yeah, I really like that because it's also a symbol of sort of life of growing and maturing and then helping somebody else grow. So that cycle.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for sharing that. That's really meaningful. Megan, I'd like to invite you to share, you know, how you think maybe culture or how people were raised or you specifically influences how we think and feel about leadership.
Yeah, so I lived here in Baker most of my life, and then a few years ago after graduating, I went down to Ottawa, and I did school there, and I worked there, and now I'm back here in Baker. And I noticed a few differences in the leadership styles in southern cities and northern communities, or at least my community. So, like, down south, I found a lot of the leadership styles and people in leadership positions, their leadership styles were kind of more assertive and obvious, and a lot of people in leadership positions had very big personalities, and none of that is, like, bad or anything, but I did find it very different than how leadership is portrayed here. So, like, here in my community, a lot of the leadership styles are more calm and almost natural, and they usually lead by example. And so a lot of the people who are leading don't necessarily realize or consider themselves to be leaders because they're just doing what they just fall into that position naturally. And that's something that I've noticed between here and there. So, yeah.
Do you think that goes back to what Naya was just saying about, you know, being in Nunavut, being Inuit, you need to make sure that you pass on things like hunting skills. So it's more, I think culturally, it's more a way of life to be that unassuming leader, supporting people from the background. Whereas if you're down south and you're working in a business and you're competing to make money and stuff like that, it's kind of push your way through life a little bit more. That way doesn't necessarily work in the north when you're reliant on other people for your survival. So do you think there's a cultural basis to what you're explaining as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We very much have this reputation of being very quiet and, like, non-confrontational and very – we do a lot of – community-based work rather than individual-based work. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
So it's interesting. I'm just coming back for what you're saying about that sort of quiet, non-confrontational, kind of like what Joshua was saying at the beginning of this part of our conversation about not carrying judgment on other people and things like that. So sort of that quiet, unassuming support rather than pushing yourself out there.
Yeah, we also tend to live in smaller communities, and so like in the south, when you're surrounded by thousands of people, you kind of have to be louder and more obvious to fall into that leadership role. Whereas here, when you're in a small community, it does fall naturally upon those who have the more skills or who are more knowledgeable or who are older. So it definitely does come like how we were raised and where we live and everything like that.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about it. I mean, leadership's a huge field of study, but it's a huge part of culture and how people are in their communities. So I really appreciate everybody sharing their perspective. I think that helps us all kind of not only understand where we're at in our own communities, understand the North better, understand the participants we might have in our programs, but it also, I think, helps to hear other people's perspectives, helps reinforce the strengths that you bring in your role as a recreation leader. So thank you for sharing that. There's just a little bit more content in this week. So if you had a look at the presentation slides, slide 9 lists a number of different ways that you can be a leader in recreation. It just gives some titles that are perhaps attached to those. But recreation leader doesn't mean necessarily a paid role. It can also mean a volunteer role. And I think you're all very aware of, I believe it was Nathan who mentioned all the volunteers in Fort Liard. He mentioned that on another call. So when you recognize sort of the leadership characteristics and qualities and think about how you're a leader, you can also, as Naya was explaining, help other people become a leader as well. And then I really believe that for recreation and sport, if we have more people who see themselves as leaders, then we have more activities that are meaningful and relevant for people in our communities. One of the slides in the presentation shares David Clark's story, and David is from Rankin Inlet. He's the recreation coordinator there. And I just shared his story because when the Recreation North partners won the Arctic Inspiration Prize, which is how we funded the development of this training program, David wrote a letter of support. And actually, he didn't write it. He said the letter of support, and we put what he said into writing. And one of the things that he said is, it's paramount that leadership is shared among many. And I'd like you to just think about that for a moment. So he said, it's paramount or very important that leadership is shared among many. And I think you've all sort of suggested that through or said that throughout our call. So if David's right that we need many people to be leaders in different ways in our communities, how do we do this? That's a big question. So recreation leaders are really important to community recreation. Without leaders, it doesn't matter if we have new facilities like a new aquatics center, new equipment, or lots of money from funders. Leadership is really what we need to make recreation happen. So just before we wrap up our call, I'd like to ask you to share your thoughts or ideas about how we can strengthen recreation leadership in our community. So this time I'm going to ask if Nathan, if you don't mind starting, I'll put the question in the chat. I'll share an example from my perspective so you can think about it. And then we'll go Nathan, Naya, Megan, and Joshua. So my question is, let me just find it and I'll put it in the chat. How can we strengthen leadership for recreation in our communities and across the North? And I'll give you a little answer of how I'm doing that. So more than 10 years ago, the Yukon, NWT, and Nunavut, the Recreation and Parks Associations for the three territories, got together and realized that it's really hard being a recreation coordinator in a small community. Sometimes you see recreation coordinators feel alone. They don't feel like they have a lot of support, and people expect them to do everything. So we felt that it was really important to have a training program that helped people connect and develop or strengthen what they could do and know that there were other people in the same situation as them. And that's how we felt, that's where we came up with the Recreation North training program. We also really believed that people couldn't always take part in training that was delivered in person, because it was really expensive to travel. And then when you go back into your communities, you didn't have the support. So our program's designed, you'll see each call, you maybe connect with people in a different way, hear about what people are doing. And really what I've heard from people who've taken this training program is the networking is the best part about it for them. And it really helps them be a better leader in recreation. So that's just a really big picture. That's my perspective from all of the North. So you can talk about in your own life or in your own community. So Nathan, how could you or what could you do to strengthen leadership for recreation in your community? Maybe that's a better way of wording it.
I was going to say networking is like really important as well too. I have another point, but I'll say it after. But with the networking, like I can see how being like a rec leader, how having connections all over the month is like super important because you were gonna have me and Naya talk after the call for like our kick sports, the lifting equipment and stuff like that. One of the like same deals is like, you know, I grew up in the north, so I have like family in Yellowknife, and then they facilitate workshops for like Arctic sports and stuff like that. And I was gonna look to them to see, like, you know, because there's always like, you know, funding with recreation, like it's, you know, not too tough to get, but like, you know, to get some equipment that way. And but I know that there are some, you know, courses. I think it was in the calls you mentioned that there's like courses for making the equipment. I might be wrong with that, but I'd say like another thing that would strengthen the recreation leadership in the community is not making like making lasting relationships with like youth of all ages, because they're going to be the next ones that'll, like, you know, take the reins. I don't know how many years I'm going to be here, but, you know, eventually, like, hopefully somebody else local takes it. So then, you know, getting to know everybody and giving them opportunities and working with them as much as I can will, you know, prepare the next wave of people my age, I guess, to start taking jobs, you know, once I get older.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got a few suggestions in there. One is the networking is really important, so who you know. Not so much the money, but who you know to be able to do the things you want to do. And then building those relationships with people who are going to be future leaders. So kind of as Naya was explaining, you know, sharing the skills and teaching people who are younger than you to be leaders so that then they can take on those roles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks, Nathan. Naya, how about yourself? What do you think someone could do or you could do to strengthen leadership in for recreation in your community?
I think that passing down the skill is a really big thing. Like, pass down the knowledge that you were taught to somebody else younger than you, because they're going to carry it when they get older. It's kind of what, like, Josh said.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's sort of like you were telling me when we met how you got to go to the elementary school and teach them some Inuit games, some of the different Arctic sports, and how then the kids started to recognize you on the when they met you on the road, right, or out in the at work or anything
yeah.
like that. So just by taking the time to teach them skills, you've inspired them. And when they remember you, you know that you've created a relationship with them.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's a really big part in building, like, leadership in the community, because, like, you're in recreation and, like, you want to help the community, and, like, having that relationship with recreation and the community, like, other community members, it kind of makes it, like, easier to actually do more events, in a way.
It does, yeah. Because you let other people see how they can participate and help as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Megan, what are your thoughts about what you could do or how we collectively could strengthen recreation leadership, either in your community or across the North?
Yeah. Throughout my volunteering, I noticed that it's really important for us to encourage the curiosity and involvement from the youth. So I know there's when kids reach a certain age, they want to help. They want to be involved. They might not always know how, but as soon as there's a call for volunteers, a bunch of the younger kids come and are able and willing, but once they reach a certain age, I don't know if it's that they have more responsibilities or it's no longer cool, but they do tend to drop out and don't show up as much for those opportunities. So I do think it's important to recognize their presence and how much help they are when they are volunteering, so that we can either have those kids continue on as they get older or keep encouraging the younger kids to come out. Another thing I noticed is that we need to continue supporting and recognizing the volunteers, because volunteer burnout is very real. Like, I know in my community, there's maybe a handful of the people, who are the same people who are always involved in volunteering and who are always the first ones to put their name down. And if you're having the same people doing event after event and initiative after initiative, they will get tired. And so we need to continue showing them that their work is valued and that they're appreciated, and figuring out what they need from everyone else to be able to continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a challenge, isn't it? You may have heard that when we had the meetings in Iqaluit too, that need to be able to spread out who volunteers in the community so we don't burn out. We call it the STP, or same 10 people, sort of syndrome. and that goes back to what you're talking about, is building on that curiosity for younger kids and nurturing their willingness to come out and help others. So, yeah, I think that's a big topic. So, interesting to try and figure that one out. If you come up with an answer, let me know. Thanks, Megan. Over to you, Joshua. How could you, or what could you do to strengthen recreation leadership in your community? And you might, if you agree with what other people have said, just feel free to point that out, or if you have some other ideas, would be great to hear them.
I have a program I run here, and it's called Kid Club. It's an after-school program. I think Roger may have told you about it. It's quite successful. But what I do with these kids to help, I let them lead the program. If a kid comes to me in one of the days, and they do a lot, and they'll be like, I got a new game, I want to try to play it. And I says, okay, perfect. You're going to lead it. You're going to run it. And we'll sit down and we'll talk about the hazards of leading something. And these kids are fairly young, so the conversations are pretty funny. But they'll end up doing it. And the biggest thing that I remind these people is the same thing that we struggle with every day that we run a program, is failure, success. We're going to have the numbers. Is somebody going to get hurt? Is this all going to fall on me? Are people going to like this? Stuff like that. So I think once they can get over that and run a successful program themselves with the right support with me there or whatever, I think that so we have a bunch of little leaders running around willing to lead this youth or thing that I've got. So I think that's pretty good.
That's awesome. What age are they starting to lead things? Or like as young as like 7, 8 years old, or a little bit older than that?
The program starts from 6 to 13, and the youngest person that led one of these was 9.
That's great. And it's nice that you have time to work with them in building things like risk management, because that's an important part of recreation. Wonderful. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that next week.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. I think you already know this, but in recreation, you have a huge opportunity to be both a leader and a role model in the lives of the children and youth participate in your programs, and also adults who are older than you to come to your special events. So I would really like to commend and recognize your commitment that you all have to being role models and leaders in your own communities and in your own special ways. These discussions that we've had on the phone and the discussions in the forums for the activities, they're designed to help you continue on your leadership journey. So next week we're going to take a little bit of time to look at competencies, and competencies sort of refers to skills, so you've mentioned skills, but also some knowledge and also some attitudes for being a recreation leader. And then at the end of this learning event, I invite you to develop a leadership growth plan. It's not due for another 9 days. It's due on October 10th or 11th, somewhere around there. But you might want to start looking at that just so that you have time to think about how you want to continue growing in the field. And the leadership growth plan is just something that you share just with me. You don't need to share it with anybody else. So it's kind of a personal statement. And then what I do with it is I save it. And for those of you who are carrying on to finish the certificate, when you finish your certificate, I'll share it back with you. And I often get comments like, wow, I changed a lot in a year. So it's kind of a neat activity to do right now. So this wraps up our first conference call. I'm going to stop the recording, but Nathan and Naya, if you want to chat further, just stay on the line until it says the conference call stop recording. And if anybody else has any questions, feel free to stay on. And I'd like to thank you so much for taking time on Friday, which is not our normal day, to join the conference call. And next week it will be on Thursday at the same time. So I'll just stop the conference call recording, and then again, Naya and Nathan, if you wanted to chat for a few minutes, you're more than welcome to.